The fact that their list management has been a debacle since about 5 years ago.
I get sick of people just making things up and just saying stupid things. They were things that were done. They were standby. They were.
What am I making up?
It's not a debacle.
What am I making up?
How is it a debacle when they've played in the grand final, a preliminary final, and won a final?
Too much of a negative. You got to 2018.
Too much of a negative. You just said the place was a debacle.
Well, there it was last night on AFL Classified. Scoot McClure left in a relatively calm mood and ended up punching on with Eddie Maguire. It's got to be said, not for the first time. Just as a referee, Scoot, without knowledge and welcome to you, I would have said a debacle from about 2019 on, fair. Other than that, I thought it was worth a dispute. So welcome to you. It was clearly good TV because the whole footy world's been talking about it since.
Hello, Jared. Oh, I think it's a fair and reasonable debate as well. I'm not saying it's all one-sided.
Mm.
If we go back just for context, what I was simply trying to say was that Lloydie was making a point about the pressure on Nathan Buckley, which
right.
There obviously is.
Yep.
And I simply made the point that whilst there is clearly pressure on Nathan Buckley and his coaching tenure should be under scrutiny,
yes.
There are many things out of his control. And one of those things is list management. Now, I stand by the fact that list management pre-Ned Guy getting there,
yep.
Which was in 2018, wasn't up to scratch. It's led them to kick the can down the road to a certain point where they got to 18, they got within a kick of a flag, they doubled down, as you would, by the way, as you would, as GWS have done.
Including a 7-year deal for...
I wouldn't have given him 7, but it's probably slightly separate.
Okay.
And it's put them
that's list management.
And it's put them in a precarious position.
Mm.
And that has been a debacle. And it has led to them having to trade out Adam Treloar, which they didn't want to do, and led to them having to trade out Tom Phillips,
yep.
Which they didn't want to do. They wanted to trade Stevenson so you can get rid of that one.
But, which is silly in my view. I think that is a foolish decision.
Sure.
Because Stevenson had a bad year, but tell me a kid who doesn't have a bad year. Look, I feel like it's been a tough time for Collingwood, but it does appear to me that...
And Eddie was defending his patch, which I respect.
Yes, I understand that, and we'll come back to Eddie, but every time I seem to walk into a studio with a co-host at the present time, they all want to take the baseball bat to Collingwood. Joining us on the line, Tom Morris, who led the charge on Monday night, coming off the long run. It actually took me aback, and I probably, in hindsight, should have questioned him more on some of the allegations he did make. But he joins us on the line after going back-to-back with another interesting story about the Cats. But welcome to you, Thomas.
Hello, Jared. Hello, Sam. I do like that debate last night, Sam. I've got to say, I think the Dane Beams deal was part of that debacle as well, so
yes.
I'm on your side.
Thank you.
Yeah, that clearly had debacle written all over it. D for Dane Beams and D for debacle. It turned out to be an absolute shocker. And I'm not sure Bucks was overly keen on doing it, but I'm pretty sure the players helped get that one across the line.
You've got to feel a little bit sorry for everyone in that scenario, Jared. They're all losers there.
Yeah, only big winner there was the Brisbane Lions.
Yes,
Tom,
true.
You were pretty strong also you weren't pretty strong. You were really strong on Monday night on the couch, opening up a can of worms. I think... most people accepted a lot of what you said, but there has been a fair pushback on your allegations the role of Scott Pendlebury as captain.
What's the pushback been?
Well, I've heard pushback that...
Good follow-up.
It was a fairly insulting thing for a long-term captain to be accused of, being A, loyal to his coach, but B, that he's actually a captain that says nothing.
Okay, yeah, no. So just to clarify that, Scott Pendlebury is a Buckley man and has been for a long time. I think he's been on the record as saying that he wanted Buckley to get another contract.
Yep.
I think he played a clip last night, Sam.
Yeah, he said
McGuire,
that. Yep.
Confirming that on Footy Classified last night. Pendlebury remains a strong Buckley man and fiercely loyal. That is not the case for other senior players within that group. And that is why I was drawing that distinction. I didn't want people to think that I was saying that Buckley has lost all the players, and that includes the captain, Scott Pendlebury. That's not the case. There is unrest at that football club, like there is at all football clubs that aren't performing well. The difference at Collingwood is that it is at a time when the coach is out of contract and when there is a strong belief among really key players and people within that club that Buckley has regressed to the coach that he was pre-2018, which is not good for him and not good for the footy club. So I was just trying to draw the distinction
yep.
to make people understand that Scott Pendlebury isn't of that belief.
You weren't prepared, but you did paint the picture of a division between senior players. Is that fair?
No, there's not a division between the players. There is Scott Pendlebury and his loyalty to Buckley, and
yep.
then other players who aren't as loyal to Buckley. But I don't think that's caused a division between players, as far as I know.
What's your thoughts if you're looking into your crystal ball and what you've clearly heard on the phone after a busy day Monday? What's your feeling about the long-term tenure for Nathan Buckley, or is it still very much up in the air?
I think it's very much up in the air. I mean, Buckley's been on the record with Cal Toomey saying that he might step away himself, and I think that's still the case. But what's happening, I think, is entirely predictable. It was always going to be whether Buckley could absorb losses this year and miss finals. And my belief was that he did it in 2017 and under the guise of the review, which was fair enough. I can't see lightning striking twice if the results continue to go the other way, and that's just the way it's looking at the moment.
Scoop, you've had a couple of tete-a-tetes with the former president of the Collingwood Football Club.
Mm.
How did you leave this particular one?
Fine.
We break bread afterwards?
Always be honest about this sort of stuff, and I've had moments with Eddie where we haven't spoken for a couple of days. We were talking completely normally by the outbreak, so he knew his position, I knew mine. That's fine.
Did he accept it was of a debacle nature over the last 12 months? I mean, over the summer, that was...
Matthew Lloyd, in the clip after that, if you watch the whole show...
I have read it.
Lloydie went back to him and said, you have to admit, Eddie, the last 12 months have been embarrassing. And he said, no. And he went... And then he started deflecting. And Eddie's an amazing, amazing politician when it comes to deflecting. Don't look here, look over here. He was saying that players leaving clubs left, right and centre, but no one wanted to leave Collingwood. We had to shove them out. I mean, seriously. And then he started blaming Trade Radio. The wheels fell off. Speaking of wheels falling off, that was the terminology that opened up Tom's column on Monday.
Yes.
Which was the wheels are falling off at the Collingwood Football Club. Which, Tom, is a pretty strong opening. And I guess I just wanted your sort of 30-second consensus as to why you think they're falling off, because that paints the picture that there's only sort of one end in sight.
Yeah, that's right. I'll give you this 30 seconds I can give you. It is a combination of a variety of factors that are all concluding at the same period of time. It's Buckley's contract. It's the club not performing well. It's the players being frustrated with the coaching. It's the coaches being frustrated with the players not playing well. It's the trade period and the erosion of trust that happened after the trade period has not been repaired, even though the coaches have tried to. The other element that I found really interesting in my dealings on Monday when I was speaking to people in and around the club, who, by the way, were far more willing to speak than anyone at Collingwood has ever been before, I think given the frustration within that football club, is that I was told very confidently that Nathan Buckley's biggest strength in 2018 and 2019 was the way he was able to change the way that he interacted and connected with the players. But it wore thin in the hub, and he was told in no uncertain terms that ship had probably sailed after the trade period. You can't really do what they did in the trade period and then say, no, but we love you again this year. It's okay. We're fine. Let's be close again. So that connection has been lost, whatever existed in 2018 and 2019. And it's all reached a point where if Collingwood continue to lose games of footy and without one singular president making the call, it could completely blow up. I'm not saying it will, but it's heading along that way.
So it needs a circuit breaker, and I'll get to that in just a sec. But you're listening to Sports Day. We're powered by Red Energy. They've had the most satisfied customers, unlike Collingwood, for 11 years in a row. That's Red Energy. And of course, Kia, introducing the all-new Kia Carnivale, Australia's first GUV. Now, gentlemen, there will be a new president at the Collingwood Football Club at some stage in the next 6 months. Whether it's announced sooner or later, we're not quite sure. But a number of people have suggested over the last 4 to 6 weeks that Jeff Brown is going to be there, and that's palatable to me. They've also suggested that if you're looking for a celebrity, if you like, or a legendary person to come in to calm the horses, unite the club, it will be John Bertrand.
Yep.
And I was thinking about this coming home from Torquay today, about John Bertrand at 74 years of age and one of the greatest icons of sport in this country becoming a Collingwood president. And I hope he doesn't become a Collingwood president, because when you're a Collingwood or a president of a football club, it's a divisive position in many ways, because it's us against them and we hate you and you hate us. I hope that John Bertrand personally doesn't take that job, because I suspect he'll be asked whether or not he does, because I would hate to have John Bertrand, you know, fall into footy politics like we've seen Eddie do over the last 20-odd years, if you like. He's such a... He is such an iconic person in sport in this country.
Regal figure.
A very good word, Scoop. Thank you for that. I thought you might have come up with a better one than that, Tom, but you've got a period of 20 seconds to help me out. A regal figure that I hope stays outside of the hurly-burly of club football.
Yep. I really like that as a call, Tom. I think that John Bertrand would be really good for Collingwood. I don't think he'll end up being president. I actually don't think Jeff Brand will end up being president, personally. And funnily enough, if Christine Holgate, had not been through what she's been through at Australia Post,
yep.
I actually think she would have ended succeeding Eddie Maguire. But the thing about being the president of a footy club, particularly Collingwood, you have to get deals done. Is Christine Holgate getting any federal funding in the next 12 months? Probably not.
She may not need it. She just needs state funding. I think that's where Eddie's done his best work in recent times. Let's move on.
She'll get state funding.
She'll definitely get state funding at this stage. There was a very good column today. I like it when you two go head-to-head.
Big story. It was a big story.
No, we haven't had a big story for a period of time, although Glenn
that's
Barber
true.
Was
We've
a big story.
Been light on stories.
Yeah. Been light. So at this stage, the betting for the best journalist in this town is still... very much open, and our man Ash Brown, who's about to join us, is going to, with me, award it at the end of the season, irrespective of the AFL Media Awards. We have our own awards here. But you broke a really interesting story today, Thomas, about Stephen Wells taking a spell. And whilst you painted the picture of a bloke who's just getting to the end of his tether after performing particularly well, it still didn't read that well, a bit like Glenn Bartlett. I mean, Glenn's telling us it was a decision of his own making, etc. But it just sounded a little bit. Well, is there any smoke here?
I'm sure there's smoke, Jared.
There's a fire.
What's causing the smoke?
Yeah. Well, I can only write what I know 100%. So I'm sure there's more to the Stephen Wells story than what I've been able to write today. But the facts of the matter are that he's standing down from his current role as recruiting manager and also list boss.
He's out of that role.
He's out of that. He's out of the dual role. So he could. There's every chance he might return and be a recruiter or work in the recruiting department. But I've also spoken to people at the Cats today that say they wouldn't be surprised if he just resigned completely.
Mm.
So that's still up
because,
in the
because
way
of being asked to. Divide his responsibilities?
No, I think he's actually exhausted. I think that bit is true. I think he's actually exhausted because the soft cap cuts, probably combined with the stress of actually doing the job for as long as he has done, has taken its toll on him.
I wouldn't
him.
Think the soft cap cuts would be that big a problem.
No, they do. They are. Well, I've spoken to people at other clubs where...
I haven't spoken to a person in football that doesn't think they're overworked just at the present time. So I accept that. But are they actually overworked?
Well, I don't work at a football club, but based around what people say to me, they say they are overworked. So you can only trust the people that you speak to, Jared. But I think that that Stephen Wells will take a back seat at most and resign at the least. And that
Jeez.
Is... And that's huge, given that he's been at the club since 1994. But I'm sure there's more to it. I just can't get it 100% at the moment.
So what would it be? I mean, there's some obvious issues that could have caused this spark or this fire to cause the smoke. I mean, the obvious one is if he's been asked to divide his responsibilities of recruiting and list manager.
I think the obvious one is that. He has made list decisions that he didn't want to make in the past, e.g. giving up 3 first-round picks for Jeremy Cameron and essentially putting all the eggs in the 2021 basket. Mm. And then beyond that, they've almost got to start again, you know, with a new CEO as well. And does he want to go through that again? And I'm not sure that he has the stomach to do that. So that is one theory without it being confirmed.
Tom, great to have you on. We'll see you on AFL tonight, the first crack, which is going gangbusters, and on game days on Fox Footy Channel 504. Chat soon.
Thanks, Sammy. Thanks, Jared.
Tom Morris there, Fox Footy senior AFL reporter. A huge story today on Stephen Wells.
What do you think about the Wells story?
I think that Wells's history at the club would only suggest that for him to do this 5 rounds into the season, something's gone awry.
Mm.
Now, whether that's him disagreeing with what they did in the off-season, whether that's
but
he's
if
had
you
a
disagree
fallen,
with
he's had
that,
a fallen out
wouldn't
with someone.
You, wouldn't you have taken up the... Cudgels, or wouldn't you have walked out
more? Yeah, later in the year. Yeah, I agree. I don't know is the honest answer, Jared, but I can guarantee you one thing. Now that Tom's written the story, it won't take long to find out.
Well, as
we'll just cut this.
Hold this.
Here, Zoe.
Okay. Well, as Scotty Palmer used to say, Scoop.
Yep.
Where there's smoke, there's blue cod.
Ash Brown's going to give us some smoke for the AFL record next.
That's right.